Good Friday. Today is August the 16th, and you're listening to My Farm. Well, as we take a look out in the backyard and garden this Friday, we are going to revisit a subject we talked about in the spring. That was bagworms. Now, in the spring, we were talking about them on evergreen trees, but actually there's a number of different hosts, including deciduous trees they can impact. We'll take a look at the current situation and details after this message from our sponsor.
Sponsored by Seed Consultants, simply the best value in the seed industry. Learn more at seedconsultants.com.
We're going to take some time this Friday morning, take a look out in the backyard and garden. We want to talk about trees and insects, if you will, bagworms. This is something we talk about typically in the spring when it comes to arborvitae and some of the evergreen type trees, being able to scout early because it's important to apply any chemicals for chemical control early on before they really get too established while they are still susceptible to that. Well, today we want to talk about bagworms, but this time talking about feeding on other types of trees. Not just the other evergreens. And although bagworms are frequently called evergreen bagworms, commonly in the South, the caterpillars can feed on over 125 different species of both evergreen and deciduous woody plants in 45 different plant families. Interestingly, there have been a few cases where the bagworm infestation was so severe that after the caterpillars got done defoliating the tree, they actually started chewing on the bark and small branches to consume sort of that fluid-rich, sugar-rich phloem. The canopy dieback was so extensive that in those cases, those trees then had to be replaced. Oftentimes, though, that's not the situation. Now, bagworms are one of the sneakiest general defoliators found in our landscapes. The caterpillars fashion these quote-unquote bags made of silk and festooned with pieces of the host plant, usually leaves and other things. So as that caterpillar matures, they begin to weave more host plant debris into the silk, which provides structural stability as well as highly effective camouflage. Seriously, on our evergreen trees, they look more like little pine cones from a distance. They look very similar, though, on a deciduous tree that you just wouldn't expect to see pine cones on. Now, male and female bagworm caterpillars spend their entire larval development inside those silk bags, so unless you look closely at the bag itself, you don't see the caterpillars, just the bags. The bags have two openings at opposite ends. The opening at the top of the bag gives the caterpillar access to the food. They create temporary tie-offs, if you will, out of silk to attach that to the host stem. That means caterpillars don't need to hang on with their front tarsal claws, giving them the freedom to extend their bodies outward to feed on. And anchor points also allow the caterpillars to retreat back into that silk if they're threatened, without the bags and caterpillars crashing to the ground. Now, the opening at the bottom end obviously serves to get rid of the waste that they would have. Otherwise, they would become loaded down with the frass. When it comes to management, early instar bagworms can be effectively controlled, as we said, with a range of insecticides, including some of the biorationals. Now, they're easier to kill when they're younger. They're much harder to kill as they get to the later instar caterpillars. And bagworm development is asynchronous. So this time of year, you can have small caterpillars commonly found feeding alongside larger ones. That makes the insecticide control more problematic. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more after this message from our sponsor.
Williamson Crop Insurance, home of Decision Max. Decision Max allows you a simple solution to analyze your operation and make informed marketing and crop insurance decisions to mitigate your risks. Manage your whole operation in one place with the ability to blend counties, marketing, and insurance coverage to give a complete overview of your operation. Williamson Crop Insurance, protecting the Eastern Corn Belt since 1980. Learn more at cropcoverage.com.
Thanks, Joe. We're going to change directions, but still talk about trees. And if you want to improve your physical and mental health, well, studies show being around trees can actually help. USDA's Gary Crawford has more.
Green space, the final frontier of health and wellness. You think you can make a case for that being true?
Yes.
Yes, that very enthusiastic yes comes from Michelle Kondo. She is a research social scientist with the U.S. Forest Service. And Michelle, then what wild and rugged place are you stationed?
Philadelphia.
Philadelphia. Well, I guess that could be a little wild and rugged during football season. Turns out the Forest Service has its Northern Research Field Office in Philly, helping northern cities deal with issues around urban forestry, trees, and green spaces. And Michelle studies, among other things, how people relate to trees and green spaces and how those natural resources affect our physical and mental health. First, on the physical side, researchers took a look at about 9 million people long-term, seven cities around the world, matching up their addresses with what kind of green spaces were nearby, and they looked at those people's birth and death records. Results were conclusive.
People live longer when they live in greener environments. With a greener neighborhood, your risk of premature mortality goes down.
Michelle and her colleagues have done some studies that give us at least a clue as to why people seem to live longer in areas with trees and greenery. Michelle says Philadelphia has a lot of vacant lots and such, which can be not only very ugly, but sometimes dangerous. So with that in mind,
we asked a set of residents to wear heart rate monitors and to walk around their neighborhood. We asked them to walk twice, both before and after some of the vacant lots had been cleaned up and we planted some trees and grass. And we found their heart rates were significantly lower when they were in view of these greened vacant lots.
And of course, it's probably some sort of mental or emotional reaction, which brings us to another study that Michelle did.
We measured people's moods, emotions. We sort of tracked their location throughout their day, and they would receive little pop-up messages on their phones to answer our very brief survey about their mood or emotion.
And the results when people were near or around trees and such?
Positive emotions were improved and negative emotions decreased compared to, for example, if they were indoors or not somewhere near some trees.
Trees. You know, I bet that would be true of dogs. You know, they always feel better, I think, with a couple of trees, you know, around for...
Right.
But that's hopefully got nothing to do with the fact that most of us are healthier and happier when we're near or around trees and such. In fact, Michelle says we don't really know exactly why that is. Is it that trees clean the air or make summer temperatures lower, or that trees reduce stressful noise levels in urban areas? Michelle, I bet you'd be a lot happier if you could... have the resources to find the answers to those questions.
Yeah, a lot
happier. Gary Crawford reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture.
Thanks, Gary. That's what's making agricultural news on my farm. For my 102.7 WMYW, I'm Dusty Sonnenberg. You have a great day.